Our first reading is from Mark. But in those days, following that distress, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. At that time, people will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And he will send his angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of the heaven. Now learn this lesson from the fig tree. As soon as its twigs get tender and its leaves come out, you will know that summer is near. Even so, when you see these things happening, you know that it is near, right at the door. Truly, I tell you, this generation will certainly not pass away until all these things have happened. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. But about that day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard, be alert. You do not know when that time will come. It is like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening, or at midnight, or when the cock crows, or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And now for Romans. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than it was when we first believed. The night is nearly over, the day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality or debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ, and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the flesh.
I was watching a film the other day, and it was getting towards the climax of it, and I realised that my hands were hurting because I was clenching my fists so tightly because of the tension that was building that I was inadvertently causing myself pain. Who here likes a tense film? Tension is a powerful force. It moves stories forward, makes us want to keep turning the pages of a book, keeps our eyes glued to a film or a TV series in suspense. Tension is also powerful in creating physical movement. Just think about a bow and arrow. It's no use having a loose or relaxed bowstring. You need tension to make the arrow fly. Or think about the strings of a guitar. You have to pull at both ends to make them tense, to produce a resonant sound. The problem is, often tensions are also uncomfortable. If we know two people are having an argument with different points of view, we will say that we feel the tension in the room. Tension asks us to hold things in balance. Two things which seem to be opposing each other, and that can be a challenge. And this is often true when we try and wrestle with some of the big questions of the Christian faith. Is God our friend or is he our judge? Is God close to us or is he holy and other? Is God in charge or do we have free will? When questions like this get too much for us, we can often give up and collapse the tension rather than try and wrestle with its apparent contradictions and find the creative power in the midst of them, or even just simply live with the mystery. Today, as we've noted, is the first Sunday of Advent. And as we said last week, Advent means coming. The coming of Jesus refers initially to his first coming as a baby 2,000 or so years ago. The birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus kicked off the kingdom of God on earth. The beginning of the kingly rule and reign of God had been long promised by the prophets. It might have looked very different to what people expected, but it made a transforming difference to the lives of everyone who responded to it. And we, the church, today are the evidence of that transforming difference. At the same time, the fullness of Jesus' kingdom won't be complete until he comes again. As well as the first coming of Jesus as a human baby, there will also be a second advent, a second coming of Jesus. And this is a clear expectation of the New Testament church, that Jesus would come again. Jesus himself speaks of this with words such as this: "The Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory." The writer of the letter to the Hebrews says this: "Christ was sacrificed once to take away the sins of many, and he will appear a second time, not to bear sin, but to bring salvation to those who are waiting for him." After Jesus' resurrection and ascension back to his Father's side, the angels explain to the disciples this: "This same Jesus who's been taken away from you to heaven will come back the same way you've seen him go into heaven." This belief in the one day return of Jesus helps shape the whole of the New Testament understanding of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And we are to live in the world in a way that anticipates his second coming. As followers of Jesus, we are to live in holy suspense. Our readings this morning encourage us to be aware of the time we live in. Paul writes in his letter to the Romans, as we've heard, "As you do this, understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber. Because your salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here." Imagine that you wake up early on the day of a great party. Could be your birthday, could be a wedding, could be Christmas. The night before is almost over. The day of the great party is just coming. The sun is coming up. You're full of excitement, but the party has not yet started. In this situation, you live with both the anticipation of the day ahead and the frustration that it has not yet begun. You can begin to put on your party clothes. You can make your final preparations, but you will be held in that tension, knowing that the party in all its fullness was still a few hours away. And this is the time we live in as Christians. The night is almost gone, as Paul writes. The day of Jesus' kingdom has started to dawn. And yet that kingdom day has not yet fully arrived in all its fullness. We live with the suspense that the full party has not yet started. Paul tells us to be aware that we are living in this time, in this in-between period, the daybreak stage. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. And this period of tension is the Christian life, sometimes called the now and not yet of the kingdom. Now Jesus is a king. At the same time, his kingdom is not yet here in all its fullness. Now Satan is defeated, but at the same time, we're waiting for all the evil to be finally overcome. So our lives are not yet free from temptation. Now Jesus has healed the sick and has given us authority to do the same. But at the same time, we live in an era where sick people are not yet healed. Now Jesus is resurrected from the dead and we are seated with him in the heavenly places. At the same time, we live in the not yet, where all creation groans to be fully healed and resurrected. this now and not yet, calls us to a radical form of living. It asks us to be both hope-filled and realistic. Life is not all roses and sunshine this side of Jesus' second coming. We all struggle with pain, temptation, disappointment, and loss. The earth continues to groan. The oppressed continue to cry out, "How long, Lord?" Yet in the middle of these challenging realities, we have seen the sun begin to rise, and we are called to live in its light. This is the tension of holy suspense that we live in between the first and second comings of Jesus. Paul continues in his letter to the Romans, as we've just heard, with this exhortation. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armour of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension, jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself in the Lord Jesus Christ. And do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. When we know a party is coming, we need to put on our party clothes for the coming celebration. Similarly, when we know Jesus is coming, we need to put on our Jesus clothes. As we thought about earlier and as I demonstrated so elegantly. And as we heard that Paul wrote this in his letter to the Colossians, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. We clothe ourselves with the character of Christ. Or if we like our clothing a bit more robust, we might dress as Paul describes in his letter to the Ephesians. Put on the full armour of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after having done everything, to stand. Stand firm with the belt of truth buckled round your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We need to dress appropriately for the season. It's not about pulling your Christmas jumper out of the wardrobe, but dressing up like Jesus in order to live in the time between the first and second coming of our Lord. In order to live in a state of holy suspense. And Jesus reminds his disciples in our reading from Mark's Gospel that nobody will know the time of his return. And that we should be on our guard. Be alert. You don't know when that time will come. It's like a man going away. He leaves his house and puts his servants in charge, each with their assigned tasks, and tells the one at the door to keep watch. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know when the owner of the house will come back, whether in the evening or at midnight, whether the cock crows or at dawn. If he comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. Holy suspense is about being watchful, ready for Jesus when he comes again, ready for that unknown hour. Jesus' first coming was unlooked for and unheralded. His second coming will be shrouded in mysterious timing. And all we can do is wait. And that's the call of Advent for our lives, to be watchful, ready, and wait. The call of Advent that we hear afresh each year and that should follow us through the year ahead. We, however, tend to like more certainty in our lives. We prefer for things to run to the timetable of our own making. Barbara Brown Taylor writes, there will always be people who believe faith requires them to be certain about everything that God has in store. to gain every advantage they can by figuring it out all ahead of time. Yet it seems entirely possible that faith is far closer to the exact opposite. God wants us to live in holy suspense, not because he's cruel, but because it's good for us, because it gives us the space to shape and form us into the likeness of his Son as we wait patiently and watchfully, not in idleness, but in active discipleship. In our reading from Mark's Gospel, as in many of Jesus' parables, Jesus asks us to live in holy suspense, live ready for his return. So take some moments this Advent to reflect on whether you are living a life that anticipates God's eternity and celebrates what is best for you, for the people around you, and for the world that God has made. And pray for your life. Come, thou long expected Jesus. Come. Let us pray. What time is it, Lord? Time to wait. Time to prepare. Time to get ready. Time to clothe ourselves as Christ. May we be watchful in this season of Advent, Lord Jesus, for your returning in our lives, in your world. Amen.